Chapter 23. Him a crown, and promised to do what I could to help him to a service, which I did for Harry Tennyson's memory. It was bloody hot walking today, and I was so lazy I dined where my new gown was, at Mrs. Van Omri's, and came back like a fool, and the Dean of Carlisle sat with me till 11. Lord Oxford is not the staff yet. 29. I was this morning in town by 10, though it was shaving day, and went to the secretary about some affairs, then visited the Duke and Duchess of Ormond. But the latter was dressing to go out, and I could not see her. My Lord Oxford had the staff given him this morning, so now I must call him Lord Oxford no more, but Lord Treasurer. I hope he will stick there. This is twice he has changed his name this week. And I heard today in the city where I dined, that he will very soon have the garter. Prithee, do not you observe how strangely I have changed my company and manner of living? I never go to a coffee house. You hear no more of Addison, Steele, Henley, Lady Lucy, Mrs. Finch, Seven, Lord Somers, Lord Halifax, etc. I think I have altered for the better. Did I tell you the Archbishop of Dublin has written me a long letter of a squabble in your town about choosing a mayor, and that he apprehended some censure for the share he had in it? 8. I have not heard anything of it here, but I shall not be always able to defend him. We hear your Bishop Hickman is dead. 9. But nobody here will do anything for me in Ireland, so they may die as fast or slow as they please. Well, you are constant to your deans, and your Stoit, and your Walls. Walls will have her tea soon. Parson Richardson is either going, or gone to Ireland, and has it with him. I hear Mr. Lewis has 2 letters for me. I could not call for them today, but will tomorrow. And perhaps one of them may be from our little MD, who knows, man, who can tell? Many a more unlikely thing has happened. Saw, I write so plaguy little, I can hardly see it myself. Write bigger, sir, 10, presto. No, but I won't. Oh, you are a saucy rogue, Mr. Presto, you are so impudent. Come, dear rogues, let Presto go to sleep. I have been with the dean, and 'tis near 12. 30. I am so hot and lazy after my morning's walk, that I loitered at Mrs. Van Omri's, where my best gown and periwig are, and out of mere listlessness dine there very often. So I did today, but I got little MD's letter, N. 115, you see, sirs, I remember to tell the number from Mr. Lewis, and I read it in a closet they lend me at Mrs. Van's. And I find Stella's a saucy rogue and a great writer, and can write finely still, when her hand is in, and her pen good. When I came here tonight, I had a mighty mind to go swim, after I was cool, for my lodging is just by the river, and I went down with only my nightgown and slippers on at 11, but came up again. However, one of these nights I will venture. 31. I was so hot this morning with my walk, that I resolved to do so no more during this violent burning weather. It is comical, that now we happen to have such heat, to ripen the fruit there has been the greatest blast that was ever known, and almost all the fruit is despaired of. I dined with Lord Shelburne. Lady Carey and Mrs. Pratt are going to Ireland. I went this evening to Lord Treasurer, and sat about 2 hours with him in mixed company. He left us, and went to court, and carried 2 staves with him, so I suppose we shall have a new Lord Steward or Controller tomorrow. I smoked that state secret out by that accident. I will not answer your letter yet, sirs. No, I won't, madam. June 1. I wish you a merry month of June. I dined again with the Vans and Sir Andrew Fountain. I always give them a flask of my Florence, which now begins to spoil, but it is near an end. I went this afternoon to Mrs. Vedo's, and brought away Madam Dingley's parchment and letter of attorney. Mrs. Vedo tells me yes he has sent the bill a fortnight ago. I will give the parchment to Ben Took, and you shall send him a letter of attorney at your leisure, enclosed to Mr. Presto. Yes, I now think your mackerel is full as good as ours, which I did not think formerly. I was bid about 2 staves, for there is no new officer made today. This letter will find you still in Dublin, I suppose, or at Donnybrook, or losing your money at Wall's. How does she do? Dot 2. I missed this day by a blunder and dining in the city. 11. 3. No boats on Sunday, never. So I was forced to walk, and so hot by the time I got to Ford's lodging, that I was quite spent. I think the weather is mad. I could not go to church. I dined with the secretary as usual, and old Colonel Graham, 12, that lived at Backshot Heath, and they said it was Colonel Graham's house. Saw, I remember it very well, when I used to go for a walk to London from Moor Park. What, I warrant you do not remember the Golden Farmer, 13, neither, Figarkic Soli. 14, 4. When must we answer this letter, this N? 15 of our little MD? Heat and laziness, and Sir Andrew Fountain, made me dine today again at Mrs. Van's, and, in short, this weather is insupportable. How is it with you? Lady Betty Butler and Lady Ashburnham sat with me 2 or 3 hours this evening in my closet at Mrs. Van's. They are very good girls, and if Lady Betty went to Ireland, you should let her be acquainted with you. How does Dingley do this hot weather? Stella, I think, never complains of it. She loves hot weather. There has not been a drop of rain since Friday se'nnight. Yes, you do love hot weather, naughty Stella, you do so, and presto can't abide it. Be a good girl then, and I will love you, and love one another, and don't be quarreling girls. 5. I dined in the city today, and went from hence early to town, and visited the Duke of Ormond and Mr. Secretary. They say my Lord Treasurer has a dead warrant in his pocket. They mean a list of those who are to be turned out of employment, and we every day now expect those changes. I passed by the Treasury today, and saw vast crowds waiting to give Lord Treasurer petitions as he passes by. He is now at the top of power and favor. He keeps no levies yet. I am cruel thirsty this hot weather. I am just this minute going to swim. I take Patrick down with me, to hold my nightgown, shirt, and slippers, and borrow a napkin of my landlady for a cap. So farewell till I come up, but there is no danger, don't be frighted. I have been swimming this half hour and more, and when I was coming out I dived, to make my head and all through wet, like a cold bath. But, as I dived, the napkin fell off and is lost, and I have that to pay for. Oh, faith, the great stones were so sharp, I could hardly set my feet on them as I came out. It was pure and warm. I got to bed, and will now go sleep. 6. Morning. This letter shall go tomorrow, so I will answer yours when I come home tonight. I feel no hurt from last night's swimming. I lie with nothing but the sheet over me, and my feet quite bare. I must rise and go to town before the tide is against me. Morrow, sirs, dear sirs, morrow. At night. I never felt so odd a day as this, since I was born. I dined with Lady Betty Germain, and there was the young Earl of Berkeley, 15, and his fine lady. I never saw her before, nor think her near so handsome as she passes for. After dinner, Mr. Birchue, 16, would not let me put ice in my wine, but said my Lord Dorchester, 17, got the bloody flux with it, and that it was the worst thing in the world. Thus are we plagued, thus are we plagued. Yet I have done it 5 or 6 times this summer, and was but the drier and the hotter for it. Nothing makes me so excessively peevish as hot weather. Lady Berkeley after dinner clapped my hat on another lady's head, and she in roguery put it upon the rails. I minded them not, but in 2 minutes they called me to the window, and Lady Carteret, 18, showed me my hat out of her window 5 doors off, where I was forced to walk to it, and pay her, and old Lady Weymouth, 19, a visit, with some more beldams. Then I went and drank coffee, and made 1 or 2 puns, with Lord Pembroke, 20, and designed to go to Lord Treasurer, but it was too late, and beside I was half broiled, and broiled without butter, for I never sweat after dinner, if I drink any wine. Then I sat an hour with Lady Betty Butler at tea, and everything made me hotter and drier. Then I walked home, and was here by 10, so miserably hot, that I was in as perfect a passion as ever I was in my life at the greatest affront or provocation. Then I sat an hour, till I was quite dry, and cool enough to go swim, which I did, but with so much vexation, that I think I have given it over. For I was every moment disturbed by boats, Rotham, and that puppy Patrick, standing ashore, would let them come within a yard or two, and then call sneakingly to them. The only comfort I proposed here in hot weather is gone, for there is no jesting with those boats after it is dark. I had none last night. I dived to dip my head, and held my cap on with both my hands, for fear of losing it. Pox take the boats. Amen. 'Tis near 12, and so I'll answer your letter.
It strikes 12 now, tomorrow morning.
7. Morning. Well, now let us answer MD's letter, N. 15, 15, 15, 15. Now have I told you the number? 15, 15. There, impudence. To call names in the beginning of your letter, before you say, how do you do, Mr. Presto? There is your breeding. Where is your manners, sir, to a gentleman? Get you gone, you couple of jades. No, I never sit up late now, but this abominable hot weather will force me to eat, or drink something that will do me hurt. I do venture to eat a few strawberries. Why then, do you know in Ireland, that Mr. St. John talks so in Parliament?
21,
your wicks are plaguily bit, for he is entirely for their being all out. And are you as vicious in snuff as ever? I believe, as you say, it does neither hurt nor good. But I have left it off, and when anybody offers me their box, I take about a tenth part of what I used to do, and then just smell to it, and privately fling the rest away. I keep to my tobacco still,
22,
as you say, but even much less of that than formerly, only mornings and evenings, and very seldom in the day. As for Joe,
23,
I have recommended his case heartily to my Lord Lieutenant, and, by his direction, given a memorial of it to Mr. Southwell, to whom I have recommended it likewise. I can do no more, if he were my brother. His business will be, to apply himself to Southwell. And you must desire Raymond, if Price of Galway comes to town, to desire him to wait on Mr. Southwell, as recommended by me for one of the Duke's chaplains, which was all I could do for him, and he must be presented to the Duke, and make his court, and ply about, and find out some vacancy, and solicit early for it. The bustle about your mayor I had before, as I told you, from the Archbishop of Dublin. Was Raymond not come till May 18? So he says fine things of me? Certainly he lies. I am sure I used him indifferently enough, and we never once dined together, or walked, or were in any third place. Only he came sometimes to my lodgings, and even there was oftener denied than admitted. What an odd bill is that you sent of Raymond's? A bill upon one Murray in Chester, which depends entirely, not only upon Raymond's honesty, but his discretion. And in money matters he is the last man I would depend on. Why should Sir Alexander Cairns,
24,
in London pay me a bill, drawn by God knows who, upon Murray in Chester? I was at Cairns, and they can do no such thing. I went among some friends, who are merchants, and I find the bill must be sent to Murray, accepted by him, and then returned back, and then Cairns may accept or refuse it as he pleases. Accordingly I gave Sir Thomas Frankland the bill, who has sent it to Chester, and ordered the postmaster there to get it accepted, and then send it back, and in a day or two I shall have an answer, and therefore this letter must stay a day or two longer than I intended, and see what answer I get. Raymond should have written to Murray at the same time, to desire Sir Alexander Cairns, to have answered such a bill, if it come. But Cairns' clerks
himself was not at home,
said they had received no notice of it, and could do nothing, and advised me to send to Murray. I have been 6 weeks today at Chelsea, and you know it but just now. And so Dean thinks I write the medley. Pox of his judgment. It is equal to his honesty. Then you haven't seen the miscellany yet?
25.
Why, 'tis a 4-shilling book. Has nobody carried it over? No, I believe Manly, 26, will not lose his place. For his friend, 27, in England is so far from being out that he has taken a new patent since the Post Office Act. And his brother Jack Manly, 28, here takes his part firmly. And I have often spoken to Southwell in his behalf, and he seems very well inclined to him. But the Irish folks here in general are horribly violent against him. Besides, he must consider he could not send Stella wine if he were put out. And so he is very kind, and sends you a dozen bottles of wine at a time, and you win 8 shillings at a time. And how much do you lose? No, no, never one syllable about that, I warrant you. Why, this same Stella is so unmerciful a writer, as he has hardly left any room for Dingley. If you have such summer there as here, sure the Wexford waters are good by this time. I forgot what weather we had May 6th. Go look in my journal. We had terrible rain the 24th and 25th, and never a drop since. Yes, yes, I remember Barrisstead's Bridge. The coach sauces up and down as one goes that way, just as at Hockley in the hole. 29. I never impute any illness or health I have to good or ill weather, but to want of exercise, or ill air, or something I have eaten, or hard study, or sitting up. And so I fence against those as well as I can. But who a deuce can help the weather? We'll see more. 30. The general was excessively hot with the sun shining full upon him. So he turns to the sun, and says, Harkee, friend, you had better go, and ripen cucumbers than plague me at this rate, etc. Another time, fretting at the heat, a gentleman by said it was such weather as pleased God. Seymour said, perhaps it may, but I am sure it pleases nobody else. Why, Madam Dingley, the first fruits are done. Southwell told me they went to inquire about them, and Lord Treasurer said they were done, and had been done long ago. And I'll tell you a secret you must not mention, that the Duke of Ormond is ordered to take notice of them in his speech in your Parliament. And I desire you will take care to say on occasion, that my Lord Treasurer Harley did it many months ago, before the Duke was Lord Lieutenant. And yet I cannot possibly come over yet. So get you gone to Wexford, and make Stella well. Yes, yes, I take care not to walk late. I never did but once, and there are 500 people on the way as I walk. Tisdall is a puppy, and I will excuse him the half hour he would talk with me. As for the examiner, I have heard a whisper, that after that of this day, 31, which tells us, what this Parliament has done, you will hardly find them so good. I prophesy they will be trash for the future, and methinks in this day's Examiner the author talks doubtfully, as if he would write no more. 32. Observe, whether the change be discovered in Dublin, only for your own curiosity, that's all. Make a mouth there. Mrs. Vedo's business I have answered, and I hope the bill is not lost. Moro. 'Tis stewing hot, but I must rise and go to town between fire and water. Moro, sir, as both, Moro. At night. I dined today with Colonel Crow, Governor of Jamaica, a dear friend Stern. I presented Stern to my Lord Treasurer's brother, 33, and gave him his case, and engaged him in his favor. At dinner there fell the Swingen just long shower, and the most grateful to me, that ever I saw. It thundered 50 times at least, and the air is so cool, that a body is able to live. And I walked home tonight with comfort, and without dirt. I went this evening to Lord Treasurer, and sat with him 2 hours, and we were in very good humor, and he abused me, and called me Dr. Thomas Swift 50 times. I have told you he does that, when he has mind to make me mad. 34. Sir Thomas Frankland gave me today a letter from Murray, accepting my bill, so all is well. Only, by a letter from Parvisel, I find there are some perplexities. Joe has likewise written to me, to thank me for what I have done for him, and desires I would write to the Bishop of Clare, that Tom Ash, 35, may not hinder his father, 36, from being Portrove. I have written and said to Joe several times that I will not trouble myself at all about Trim. I wish them their liberty, but they do not deserve it. So tell Joe, and send to him. I am mighty happy with this rain. I was at the end of my patience, but now I live again. This cannot go till Saturday, and perhaps I may go out of town with Lord Shelburne and Lady Carey tomorrow for 2 or 3 days. Lady Carey has written to desire it, but tomorrow I shall know farther. Oh, this dear rain, I cannot forbear praising it. I never felt myself to be revived so in my life. It lasted from 3 till 5, hard as a horn, and mixed with hail. 8. Morning. I am going to town, and will just finish this there, if I go into the country with Lady Carey and Lord Shelburne. So morrow, till an hour or two hence. In town. I met Cairns, who, I suppose, will pay me the money, though he says I must send him the bill first, and I will get it done in absence. Farewell, etc., etc. Letter 25. Chelsea, June 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I have been all this time at Wycombe, between Oxford and London, with Lord Shelburne, who has the squire's house at the town's end, and an estate there in a delicious country. Lady Carey and Mrs. Pratt were with us, and we passed our time well enough, and there I wholly disengaged myself from all public thoughts, and everything but M.D., who had the impudence to send me a letter there, but I'll be revenged. I will answer it. This day, the 20th, I came from Wycombe with Lady Carey after dinner, lighted at Hyde Park Corner, and walked. It was 27 miles, and we came within about 5 hours. 21. I went at noon to see Mr. Secretary at his office, and there was Lord Treasurer. So I killed 2 birds, etc., and we were glad to see one another, and so forth. And the secretary and I dined at Sir William Wyndham's, one, who married Lady Catherine Seymour, your acquaintance, I suppose. There were 10 of us at dinner. It seems, in my absence, they had erected a club, too, and made me one, and we made some laws today, which I am to digest and add to, against next meeting. Our meetings are to be every Thursday. We are yet but 12. Lord Keeper and Lord Treasurer were proposed, but I was against them, and so was Mr. Secretary, though their sons are of it, and so they are excluded. But we design to admit the Duke of Shrewsbury. The end of our club is to advance conversation and friendship, and to reward deserving persons with our interest and recommendation. We take in none but men of wit or men of interest, and if we go on as we begin, no other club in this town will be worth talking of. The Solicitor General, Sir Robert Raymond, is one of our club, and I ordered him immediately to write to your Lord Chancellor in favor of Dr. Raymond. So tell Raymond, if you see him, but I believe this will find you at Wexford. This letter will come 3 weeks after the last, so there is a week lost, but that is owing to my being out of town. Yet I think it is right, because it goes enclosed to Mr. Reading. 3. And why should he know how often Presto writes to M.D., pray? I sat this evening with Lady Betty Butler and Lady Ashburnham, and then came home by 11, and had a good cool walk, for we have had no extreme hot weather this fortnight, but a great deal of rain at times, and a body can live and breathe. I hope it will hold so. We had peaches today. 22. I went late today to town, and dined with my friend Lewis. I saw Will Congreve attending at the Treasury, by order, with his brethren, the commissioners of the wine licenses. I had often mentioned him with kindness to Lord Treasurer, and Congreve told me that, after they had answered to what they were sent for, my lord called him privately, and spoke to him with great kindness, promising his protection, etc. The poor man said he had been used so ill of late years, that he was quite astonished at my lord's goodness, etc., comma, and desired me to tell my lord so, which I did this evening, and recommended him heartily. My lord assured me he esteemed him very much, and would be always kind to him, that what he said was to make Congreve easy, because he... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.